Yeah. Hi, everybody. Glad I'm here. I'm a little frustrated with y'all's traffic in this area, but I got through it. I'm grateful to be here. My Al-Anon home group is over in Altadena on Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock, and I had found that little meeting a little over a year ago, and I felt really safe and it felt really safe to be there, and I was really, really happy that I could go somewhere and deal with, I don't know if it's okay to have more than one qualifier, but I do have several in my life, and it was really important for me to find that group, and I felt great, and I, you know, pretty much let my hair down over there, and then my sponsor started going to the meeting. And it made me a little bit uncomfortable, but we began to work and talk and share, and basically, my mother qualifies me first off, and part of the insanity of living in that house has carried over into other aspects of my life many years later, and I have been able to work out issues in other areas through other means, but as time has gone on and I've gotten older, I can clearly see that I still need help, and the kind of help that this program provides is exactly where I need to be. About 2 years ago, I was working with a gentleman or a person who is an alcoholic, and that person was sober, and that person had relapsed. And I remember the day, it was a Wednesday morning. It was a Wednesday night when he relapsed, and then Thursday morning, I was up at my apartment, and I had gone over to the store, and when I came out of the store, I couldn't remember where I parked my car because I was so depressed and withdrawn and out of my mind about that relapse. And that's when I had to accept that I needed Al-Anon, because I have been dealing with alcoholics for over 20 years. But at that moment, I had a surrender experience that not only could I not control that relapse, but it really hurt. And through my mother's behavior and all of the insanity in the area where I grew up, I'm from South Central Los Angeles, and just personally letting that relapse inside of me really, really showed me that powerlessness is very painful without other stuff to help. And I was really in a lot of pain, and I came out of that store, and I was just like totally lost where my car was. And because the person that had gone out, that person would help me with stuff like that and do little things, and, you know, and it was just bizarre that here I am, you know, a 43-year-old man, and I'm depressed, and I'm sad, and I'm literally crying, and I'm holding in this pain, and I'm not telling anyone. And that morning, the house of cards just collapsed, and I knew that I was in trouble emotionally, and my other resources were not helping me at that time. And but since then, I've tried to have the do's and don'ts, you know. I try to apply that stuff, and it's really, really frustrating sometimes, because it's like we live in a drinking society. And to be able to personalize my own health in regards to dealing with this insanity, I don't know. I got here addicted to denial. And I could always just go, oh, that's not as pathetic as it seems, you know. Or clean it up and straighten it out and make it not look as though it really is pathetically ill, you know. I remember one time when my mother passed out in the hallway, and I had friends over, this when we were kids, and she just passed out like she had a blackout or something, I guess. And just sort of kind of like stepping over her and telling my friends, oh, you know, that's okay. We go through this all the time here. you know, there's not really... And just to have that up and, you know, that kind of denial still go on many years later, long after my mom has made some changes in her personal life. It really, and I know this is like a parent family type group here, and personally, I deal with my sisters now. I have four sisters, and I deal with them over the phone a lot because they live too far for me to drive all the time. And I'm just sort of now, with the help of the Al-Anon principles, I'm just really sort of now seeing how sick our family was. And we just put up this front. I've done community theater and all this stuff, and I just, it was such a game to live in the fashion of my family's phoniness and not really be honest about how we needed some help. And alcoholism was running everybody's life, and nobody really wanted to be real or honest about it. And now, years later, it's like, it's real easy for me to pretend as though that that everything is fine. You know, you're not about to go kill yourself. You're just struggling. Here, let me help you. And, you know, when an alcoholic doesn't find recovery, they sort of drink and kill themselves. But when I don't work an Al-Anon program, I sort of help you to death. And I'm really willing to take responsibility for that by way of working the program. My friend here, we've had some dialogue together. I don't want to blow her anonymity or anything, her qualifier. And I remember one day I was on the phone with her and we were talking, and she mentioned something that shut me down. And I'm a Capricorn too. I love to talk. And I raised my voice a little bit, and she said, "Well, my sponsor told me to do this," and then I had to shut up, you know, because to me, I think that's more powerful than just being able to complain or debate about what an alcoholic or an addict's going to do. It's more important for me to take direction, to take care of myself, so I don't wind up just as crazy as some person that's willing to drink themselves to death. Or not, you know. I mean, some people sober up, but they don't recover up into the steps, which leads me to this one little paragraph I wanted to read out of one of our books. And it just basically says, "Al-Anon has but one purpose, to help families of alcoholics. We do this by practicing 12 steps, by welcoming and giving comfort to families of alcoholics, and by giving understanding and encouragement to the alcoholic." And a lot of times, with the alcoholics that I deal with today, it doesn't seem as though assertiveness can be looked upon as encouragement and being assertive with people. In other words, I've been learning how to help my qualifiers identify with what they need and be able to help with needs instead of running around constantly trying to please you with what you want. And I'm here to share that there's a big difference between what someone needs and what they want. And you know how alcoholics can be when it comes to wants. I mean, some of that stuff is just it's crazy. And so what I've learned in my little home group is more about helping with what people really need and what I can really help with, you know. And what happened after going to this meeting and working with my sponsor, what I've been able to do in this program is be a little bit more compassionate and be a little bit more less dependent upon whether an alcoholic is going to stay sober or not. And I know that may seem kind of morbid, but I really cannot base my life on whether or not you're going to get, be, and stay clean and sober. And it's really taken some huge steps for me to really, like, internalize that. And that morning when I walked out of that store, that was the beginning of it, you know. By opening up and admitting that that's how That's how dependent I had become on somebody else rather than taking responsibility for my own stuff and what I need to be dealing with, especially in regards to, like, the embarrassing things, like pain. And I'm not talking about physical pain. I'm sure you all know that. I mean, like, that internal kind of discomfort that I don't want to talk about. Being able to not be so worried about, because it's like there's two types of prayer in recovery. There's when you pray on someone to find out how wrong they are, or when you get, you know, when you go, when I go to my maker and ask for that understanding, you know, the prayer that that keeps me from trying to play God. And it's really a challenge for me. This is not easy stuff for me because I come from a huge family, and we have a lot of smoke and mirrors. And here recently, and I'll start wrapping up, I don't want to break any traditions or anything, but there had been a popular person, and my childhood had passed away recently as a result of untreated addiction, and I was able to watch a lot of this stuff, and I started personalizing it because it reminded me of all the greatness and the beauty and the love and the prayers, and yet this person died in 2 feet of water because of, you know, the sickness. And it was scary to kind of really see a reflection of my own history and all of that. And the insanity of, like, oh no, it's okay. We always deal with this, you know. And then to know that best friends and whatnot were there drinking and helping and loving up until that very evening. And of course, that person's not here to tell her story. But I'm just saying, it's like it was kind of scary. It touched some stuff inside of me that I know I was lying about when I was growing up in this environment. And my point is just that when I was watching all that stuff, it just kind of helped me be more grateful for the honesty that really is in Al-Anon and the Al-Anon principles. One of the Al-Anon principles that we talk about in our home group is learn more about alcoholism. And I don't just mean, you know, be able to gossip more about someone that's making you angry, but like to really kind of have that understanding that this is really a sickness and that I can't control it. And it's not my fault. You know, one of my things that my sponsor says is you're not responsible for how your mom turned out. You know, and I really need to hear that because I was the guy. Out of all the siblings, I was the one that had to make sure that we were able to go to the store and do all these things to not make us look as pathetic as we probably really were. All in love, you know. And it's just, yeah, I don't know. I love the fact that when I came to that first meeting that morning, there was a gal there who led, and she was also turned out to be our secretary. And once I was able to say my name and listen, I knew I had found a place to not really come here and, like when you guys, I like when they say it's like, when you're not here to fix the qualifier, you're here for yourself, you're here for your own stuff. That kind of rubbed me the wrong way a little bit, because I was going to come here and sort her stuff out, basically. And what I found out is that, you know, I really need to deal with my own stuff and really need to do the inventory work and really make... See, because I thought change just meant that you would eventually have a different point of view, which is cool. But change to me is also to, like, amend my behavior. In other words, I'm sorry, the Constitution. It has to be changed. They change the language when they amend it. And I'm really grateful that the amends process, for me, has really shown that I can be more loving and I can be more understanding, and I don't have to be so damn pissed off because you won't, like, see how I think you should really see it and stuff like that. This is hard work. If you're new, I don't want to scare you. I just want to let you know that we're here to help you, and you don't have to be alone, and you don't have to be comfortable, and you don't have to be right. that you can be identified with, and we can, you know, show you how to help other people too here. And I just wanted to read that little paragraph because I like the way it says that we do this by participating with the steps. And for so many months, I didn't want to use the steps. I just wanted to use my mouth and just express myself. And eventually, you know, we have to do that. I have to do the writing, and I have to write down these fears, and write down this history, and read it to my sponsor, and work the rest of the steps, and look at my defects. How am I defect when you keep getting drunk? You know, and the steps answer that for me. I talked to you a few letters or emails ago, and you know, even though things aren't the way I would really want them, you were able to show me like it sure beats drowning in 2 foot of water. You know, in other words, maybe there is still hope. Where there's breath, there's hope. You know, and. I love this stuff, though. I'm no longer addicted to denial, you know. I still struggle with it, but I'm not obsessed with making sure that everybody knows that it's really better than it really looks. You know, I'm not really interested in that. And it really is uncomfortable because a lot of people don't like the truth about stuff, especially if it's not going to feel good. But being able to walk through that with the help that I get in these rooms is more important than sitting around being right about stuff and being alone. It's horrible when I'm right and I'm all alone. And the righter I get, the lonelier I am. There's nobody around, right? So I love the program. I know I've probably talked too long. I feel the warmth in your group just by sitting here. I just want to encourage new people to participate. You know, use that 10 minutes. You know, even if it's just to say I don't agree with anything that guy said, just to kind of break through the barrier of nobody knows the truth. You know, that's. That was my theme song, you know, nobody knows. You know. And now coming here, people do know. Not all the answers, but like where to go with the problem. And that's important. You know, having a primary purpose. There are so many people in life that don't know what their purpose is, you know. I'm driving behind these people and it's like, I clearly know that you don't want to go where you're trying to go. Look at you, you know. So, and I have to go, you know, get back in your car. You know, you're in this car. And it's just, you can look at people. You say, you don't want to go where you're going. Look how you're driving. You know, I thank you for letting me come here. I thank you for letting me share. And I really want to encourage new people, like I said earlier, to dive right in and as quick as possible. Thanks a lot.